Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Tetvav. We've seen earlier in Hilchot Tefillah, in Prakim Dalid and Hay, the Rambam's predilection for lists as a way of organizing information. In those cases, the five required and the eight desirable ingredients of Tefillah. The first half of this perek, the final one in this set of halachot, is also a list of six ways in which a kohen can be disqualified from participating in Birkat Kohanim. The second half of the perek adds some more details relevant both to the practice and to the hashkafic foundations of Birkat Kohanim. Halacha Aleph. Shisha dvarim mon'in nisiyut kapayim. Halashon, v'hamumin, v'avera, v'ashanim, v'hayayin, v'tumat hayadayim. Halashon ketzad, ha'ilgin, she'en motziin et ha'otiyot ketiknan, kigon shekorin la'alfin aynin, ula'aynin alfin, o le'shibolet sibolet v'chayutzei behen, ein nosin et kapehem. V'chein kivdei peh v'chivdei lashon, she'en divrehem nikarin la'kol, ein nosin et kapehem. The first disqualification is lashon, speech, referring to a kohen who cannot pronounce the words properly. The Rambam brings specific examples of someone who pronounces a shin like a samech, and someone who pronounces aleph and ayin in the same way. Acharonim say that if everyone in the city speaks in this manner, then the kohen who does so is not disqualified. Specifically, the Taz points out that most Ashkenazim do not distinguish between the aleph and the ayin, and therefore a kohen who pronounces them identically may participate in Birkat Kohanim. But this disqualification is still relevant for anyone who cannot speak clearly, for instance because of recent dental or oral surgery, or due to something more serious, like a stroke or some neurodegenerative disease. Halacha bet. Hamumin ketzad, kohen sheyesh mumin biadav, o befanav, o biraglav, kegon shayu etzbaotav akumot, o akushot, o shayu yadav bahakaniot, lo yisad kapav, lefi shaham mistaklim bo. Mishaya riro yored az kano b'shashu medaber, v'chein tzuma b'achat meinav, lo yisad kapav. V'im haya dash b'iro, v'hayu hakol regilin b'zeh asuma b'achat, o b'zeh shiriro zav, mutar, lefi she'en ha'am mistaklin bo. V'chein mishayu yadav tzivuot estes ufua, lo yisad kapav. V'im rov anshe ota ha'ir melachtan b'kach, mutar, lefi she'en mistaklin bo. The second disqualification is mumin, physical irregularities on parts of the body visible to the tzibur, namely the hands, face, and feet, and which may distract them during the bracha. These can include deformities like crooked fingers or especially white skin, an eye which does not function properly, saliva dripping constantly out of the mouth, and hands which are colored by substances used for dyeing or painting. In all these cases, there is a leniency of dash bi'iro. If the kohen is known around town, and people are accustomed to seeing him, then the tzibur is not distracted by whatever mum he has, and he may participate in Birkat Kohanim. The Shulchan Aruch clarifies that dash bi'iro applies only to someone living in the city on a permanent or semi-permanent basis, and who has been there for at least 30 days. It doesn't apply to someone who intends to stay only temporarily, even if his stay is longer than 30 days. The Kesef Mishnah suggests that perhaps mumim on the hands and face do not disqualify a kohen now that the custom is for the kohanim to cover their hands and faces with their talitot during the bracha. He remains in doubt as to whether we may be lenient on this point, but in the Shulchan Aruch he rules that we may. Halacha Gimel. Ha'avera ketzad, kohen shaharag et ha'nefesh afilu bishgaga, va'af api sh'asa tshuva, lo yisad kapav, shnamar yideichem damim aleyu. V'chatuv uv'fariskhem kapichem v'chulei. V'kohen sh'avad avodah zara, bein ba'ones, bein mishkaga, af api sh'asa tshuva, eino noser kapav la'olam. Shnamar lo ya'alu kohane abamot v'chulei. Uv'racha kavodah, shnamar l'sharto ularech bishmo. V'chen kohen sh'nishtamed l'avodah zara, af api sh'chazar bo, eino noser kapav la'olam. U'shar ha'verot ein mon'in. The third disqualification is avera, specifically the averot of killing a person, even b'shogeg, meaning he had no intent to kill, but caused death through negligence, avodah zarah, even if done under duress, and leaving the Jewish religion. The Rambam brings psukim to prove that a kohen who is guilty of these sins may not do avodah in the mikdash, and he states that bracha kavodah, birkat panim, even outside the mikdash, has the same status in this regard as avodah in the mikdash, based on the pasuk in Parshat Ekev of lisharto ulvarich bishmo, that God chose the kohanim to serve him and to bless the people in his name. We saw in the last parak several details in which this link between birkat kohanim and avodah finds expression. The Rambam says that even tshuva does not help in the case of all of these avirot, but the Rama is lenient if the kohen has done sincere tshuva, and other poskim take a middle position. Tshuva helps to rehabilitate a kohen who had killed bishogeg, but not one who killed bemezid. From the Rambam, it sounds like a kohen is not disqualified if he kills ba'onis, completely accidentally through no fault of his own. For instance, a car accident, for which he bears absolutely no responsibility. Poskim debate the case of a kohen soldier who kills enemy soldiers in war, but there is general agreement that a kohen in Israel who kills terrorists either as a soldier or in other security-related work is allowed to continue participating in Birkat Kohanim. Halacha Dalet. Hashanim Ketzad. Kohen Na'ar Lo Yisat Kapav Ad Sheitmalei Zekano. The fourth disqualification is age, referring here to a kohen who is below the age at which he can have a full beard. The Radvaz clarifies in a tshuva, and the Shulchan Aruch also says, that this only refers to performing Birkat Kohanim by himself on a regular basis. Even a child kohen below bar mitzvah may join other kohanim in saying the bracha, and once he is bar mitzvah but not yet old enough to have a full beard, he may say the bracha even alone, as long as this is not done regularly. Other poskim even allow him to say Birkat Kohanim alone on a regular basis if he is the only kohen who joins the minyan every day. Going on in Halacha Dalid, V'hayayin Ketzad, Mi sheshata revi'it yayin chai bevat achat, Eino noset kapav ad shiasuri eino me'alav, Lefi shehukshah bracha l'avodah. Shata revi'it b'shtei pamim, O shnatan l'tocha ma'at mayim, mutar. V'im shata yater mi revi'it, Af al pi shaya mazug, V'af al pi sheshatahu b'chama pamim, Lo yisat kapav ad shiasur yeino me'alav. The fifth disqualification, which already came up at the start of the last parak, is wine. We pointed out there the connection to the avodah and the mikdash, where the same disqualification exists, and the parameters are very similar to those given here. If the kohen drinks exactly a revi'it of wine at once, then he may not say birkat kohanim, but if he drinks it over a longer period of time, or dilutes it with water, then he may. However, if he drinks more than a revi'it, then he is disqualified even if it was diluted, or if he drank it over a longer time. The Rambam goes on to explain how much a volume of revi'it is in terms of finger lengths, and opinions vary as to how much this is in modern measurements. The smaller shear of Rav Chaim Na'e takes it to be about 3 fluid ounces, or 86 milliliters, while the Chazon Ish believes it to be almost twice that amount. What about alcoholic drinks other than wine? Poskim agree that stronger drinks like whiskey or vodka disqualify a kohen even if he drinks less than a revi'it, if he is sufficiently under the influence that he would not be able to appear before a king. Halacha hei, tumat hayadayim ketzad, kohen shelo natal yadav lo yisad kapav, elo notel yadav b'mayim ad haperek kederech shemikadshin lavoda, v'achar kach mevarech, shnamar suideichem kodesh uvarchu et Hashem, v'achalal eino noset kapav lefi sheino b'chihuno. The last disqualification is tumat yadayim, meaning that a kohen must wash his hands before ascending to the duchan, and here again the Rambam explicitly links Birkat Kohanim to the avodah and the mikdash, where a kohen must do the same. The Kesef Mishnah understands that the Rambam allows a kohen to rely on Nitilat Yadayim that he did earlier that morning, and does not need to wash again specifically for the purpose of Birkat Kohanim. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he rules that the kohen should wash again in this case, without a bracha of Al Nitilat Yadayim. The Rambam ends by adding that a halal, someone born from the union of a kohen with a woman forbidden to him, like a grusha or a giyoret, a divorcee or a convert, is not considered a kohen at all for purposes of Birkat Kohanim. The Shulchan Aruch adds that even a kohen married to one of these women, though he does not himself become a halal, may not participate in Birkat Kohanim until he divorces her and commits through a neder not to violate intentionally the Isurim on Kohanim as he had in the past. Halacha Vav.
Kohen shelo haya lo davar mikol elu hadvarim hamonin et nisiat kapayim, af api sheino chacham beino medadek mitzvot, o shayu habriyot meranini acharav, o shelo haya masao matno betzedek, harez en oset kapav, ve'en monin oto, lefi shezo mitzvat ase al kol kohen v'kohen sheroo nisiat kapayim, ve'en omrin la adam rasha, hosif resha v'imana min hamitzvot. A Kohen without any of these six disqualifications may participate in Birkat Kohanim, even if he is not especially learned, nor very careful about mitzvot, and even if he cheats in his business dealings. Birkat Kohanim is a mitzvah on every Kohen, and we don't tell even a Rasha to desist from mitzvot and thereby become an even worse Rasha. Halacha Zayin, Va'al titma v'tomar, umato il birkat hedyotze, she'en kibul ha'bracha talui ba'kohanim, ela ba'kadosh baruch hu, shenemar, v'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarchem. Ha'kohanim osim mitzvah shnitzdavu ba, v'akadosh baruch hu b'rachamav mevarech et Yisrael k'cheftzo. Why do we allow the Kohen Rasha to do Birkat Kohanim? What good can the blessing of such a person possibly accomplish? The Rambam's answer is that the Kohanim are not the source of the blessing, but merely the conduit through which Hashem blesses the Jewish people. As the Pasuk says right after the text of the Bracha, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael, v'ani avarachem. The Kohanim do their mitzvah, and through it Hashem blesses his people. Halacha chet, am shehen achorei kohanim einan bichlal habracha, v'omdin mitzideihen harei hen bichlal habracha. V'im hayta mechitza bein hakohanim uvein hamitbarchin, afilu hi chomah shel barzel, ho'ilu pneihen lemul pnei hakohanim harei hen bichlal habracha. The bracha of the Kohanim applies to all those in front of them and to their sides, even if there is a wall between the Kohanim and the people, but it does not include those behind them. If the shul is built in such a way that the duchan isn't all the way in front, and some congregants can stand between it and the front of the shul, then these people should move during Birkat Kohanim to be either in front of the Kohanim or to their sides. The Shulchan Aruch adds that people outside the Beit Knesset, who are not able to come because of their work, are included in the bracha even if they are physically located behind the Kohanim. This clarifies the point in the next halacha, halacha tet. Nisiat kapayim basara, v'kohanim min haminyan, Beit HaKnesset shekulo kohanim, kulan nosin et kapayhen, ulmi hein mevarchin, l'achayhem shebatzafon v'l'achayhem shebatarom. ומי עונה אחריהם אמן? הנשים והטף. ואם נשאר שם 10 כהנים יתר על אלו שעלו לדוכן, 10 עונים אמן והשאר מברכין. Birkat Kohanim requires a minyan, as we saw in Perek Chet, that it appears on the list of Dareim Shebikdusha, and the Kohanim themselves count toward the minyan. So if there are two Kohanim and eight non-Kohanim, the two bless the eight. What if everyone in the minyan is a Kohen? If they are more than 10, then 10 stay behind to receive the bracha and to answer amen to Birkat Kohanim said by the remaining Kohanim. So if the minyan consists of 13 people, all Kohanim, then 3 say the bracha to the other 10. If they are exactly 10, then all of them say Birkat Kohanim, even though no one else is in the Beit Knesset to receive the bracha. And the bracha applies to the people outside, as we mentioned before, who are located from the north of the city to the south, and who can't come join the minyan because they need to work. There still must be someone to answer amen to the Birkat Kohanim, but this can be done by women and children in the shul. The Gra infers from this that if there are no women and children present to answer, then at least one Kohen of the 10 must stay behind to answer while the others say the bracha. Halacha Yud. Tzibur shelo haya behen Kohen ela shliach tzibur levado lo yisad kapav. Vim havtachato hi shehu noser kapav v'chozer letfilato rashai. What if there aren't too many Kohanim, but too few? If there is only one Kohen, and he is the Shliach Tzibur, then he does not say Birkat Kohanim, lest he become confused and is unable to finish the Chazarat HaShatz afterwards, unless he is very confident that this will not happen to him. Acharonim are in agreement that nowadays this concern does not exist, because we read from printed Sidurim, and so the Shliach Tzibur can say Birkat Kohanim if he is the only Kohen. If he isn't the only Kohen, may he say Birkat Kohanim together with other Kohanim? The Mishabura says he should not, but rather stand silently in place while someone else from the Tzibur calls out the words to the Kohanim. Recall from the last parak that the Makri who says the words for the Kohanim to repeat should not be a Kohen himself. The Magen Avraham is lenient and allows the Shliach Tzibur to participate in Birkat Kohanim even when other Kohanim are present. If there are no Kohanim at all in the Minyan, or if the Minyan doesn't say Birkat Kohanim for some other reason, like the custom of Ashkenazim outside Israel, then in place of Birkat Kohanim, the Shliach Tzibur says the familiar paragraph beginning Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu, which the Rambam proceeds to quote in the remainder of this halacha. Halacha Yud Aleph. Kohen shnasa kapab beit haKnesset, v'alach lebeit haKnesset acher, u'matzat tzibur shmipadlin v'lo higil l'birkat kohanim, noseya dav lahen, u'mvarcham, v'afilu kama pamim v'yom. A Kohen who has already said Birkat Kohanim in one minyan and later is in another minyan, this can happen in a shul with multiple minyanim if a Kohen for whatever reason hangs around, may and should do Birkat Kohanim again. This isn't considered a violation of Baal Tosif, like we saw in the last parak, because that prohibition refers to adding on to the parameters of a mitzvah, like adding a fourth pasuk to the bracha, as we saw in the last parak, but not to fulfilling a mitzvah more than once. There is no limit to the number of times a Kohen may say Birkat Kohanim in different minyanim over the course of a single day. Going on in Halacha Yud Aleph, Kohen shlo akar raglav mimkomo lalot duchan b'sha'a shamar shliach tzibur ritzei, shuv eino ole b'ota tfila. Aval im akar raglav lalot, af av yishlo higia laduchan ela lachar avoda, harei ze ole umvarech. As we saw in the last perek, each Kohen starts moving toward the duchan when the shliach tzibur gets to ritzei. The Rambam adds here that this is ma'akev, meaning if he didn't start to move until after that bracha ends, then he may not go up. And this applies even to a Kohen who only completes his amidah, or walks into the Beit Knesset after the end of Ritzei. The Rambam also clarifies here that the Kohen doesn't need to actually arrive at the Duchan before the end of Ritzei, as long as he began to move toward it by that point. Halacha Yud Bet. Kol Kohen sheino ole laduchan, af abi shebitel mitzvah taseh achat, harehu keover al shlosha aseh, ko tevarchu, amor lahem, v'samu et shemi, v'chol Kohen sheino mevarech, eino mitbarech, v'chol Kohen ha-mevarech, mitbarech, shneemar, v'avarecha, v'varechecha. A Kohen who does not ascend to the Duchan to say Birkat Kohanim is in violation of a mitzvah taseh, as we saw in the Koteret and discussed in the last parak. But the importance of this mitzvah is so great that it is as if he violated three mitzvot aseh, as there are three phrases that command the Kohanim to bless the Jewish people. The pasuk before the text of the brachot contains both of the phrases ko tevarchu and amor lahem, and the pasuk afterwards uses the phrase v'samu et shemi. The Shulchan Aruch clarifies that this only applies to a Kohen who declines to say the bracha despite hearing the call of Kohanim by the Gabbai or the Shlich Tzibur, or after being told by someone in the Tzibur to wash his hands and ascend to the Duchan. Also, only a Kohen who has not yet said Birkat Kohanim that day is in violation of the Aseh, not one who said it already and now finds himself in another minyan. We said in the last halacha that he may and should say Birkat Kohanim again, but he is not in violation of anything if he opts not to. The Rambam ends the perek, and with it this set of halachot, by saying that a Kohen who says Birkat Kohanim himself receives a blessing from Hashem. As Hashem told Avram Avinu, V'avarecha b'varechecha, I will bless those who bless you. A Kohen who abstains, in addition to violating the mitzvot aseh, which is the equivalent of three mitzvot as we saw before, also loses out on the special bracha he is meant to receive from Hashem when he carries out his special task of serving as a vehicle for Hashem to bless his people.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.